And this is like the UMS, Battlestar UMS, extra, I can't even think of the word on the English now.
Extraterrestrial.
Oh, that's us.
Yes.
But we need to do is just sit back and relax and just let all the energy that's here, that has always been here, is yet to come, just flow through all of us and sit back and just enjoy the presence of each other's company and the energy that God has created for all of us.
Yourself in the cradle of Abraham.
Rock my soul, the cradle of Abraham.
Rock your soul.
My soul.
Sometimes there's nothing else to do but rock your soul.
Abraham, rock my soul.
Has come in from the storm. I think it means that in more than one ways. Always to have a safe harbor, to come in from the storm. All through my meditation, another song kept coming to my head. And maybe you can understand it with me, and it was, "Come and warm yourself by my side." And that is the feeling that as the minister of this church, that one would like to bring to you on a rainy, cold evening. Come and warm yourself by my side. But I think that warming means to help you feel once again a deep peace within your soul, that there is no power on this earth that is greater than the power of righteousness and the power that belongs to a man of good intentions. All the promises are there for it. All the promises. Why I feel I could say to you in this hour, come and warm yourself by my side, is because when I get to be with you in the truth of what we really are, in the deepest feelings that I have that I can express to you, that at best in front of you each time my ego dies a little more. I always come here and feel the ego death within me. And in feeling the ego death, at first I used to just feel the ego death. I felt it for so many years, it seemed not to have rhyme or purpose, but there seemed to be the desire within me to allow the ego to be destroyed. But now in the death of the ego, ego within me always arises, my soul. It's like my soul begins to take ascent. No matter what life is happening to me out there or what is going on, and the ego has its way with me, as it does every time there's fear, you turn it over to the ego. Because the ego, in all your evolution, has had one purpose, and that was to protect you. To me, your ego is the sixth sense of your five senses. We learn to smell and mark territory. We've learned to use our ears in an extraordinary way, and they were never to listen to the earth spin or the music of the spheres. They were always there for protection. We are so guarded. We are so within our whole creativeness to protect ourselves. And we get an understanding that this protection became necessary when we disconnected ourselves from God. And to me in the garden, all it means is man has disconnected himself from God. He's disconnected himself from a hope that's beyond sight or beyond hearing or beyond knowing someone who can help you. It's when you still have a trust and faith when it goes beyond all reason. And he disconnected himself from that. It's a disconnection from the source that has given us life. We live our lives as if we have no source, that we got here by our own tenacity. Nothing more than one sperm trying to beat out thousands of other sperms to get to the first one, to get to the egg. The only purpose was to bring ourselves into life. That is natural to us. We will have a fight all of our life between our ego and our spirit. There are many times that we are acting out of our ego and not out of our spirit. Many people who come into church are acting out of their ego. Many people who come in here because their spirit has brought them here, sooner or later you see them beginning to act out of their ego. They no longer express themselves how they really feel, because who may like them, or how to get in with the in crowd. All kinds of other things take over than the originality of the spirit. The ego seems to always plead innocence of itself. The ego knows when to shut up, and it knows when to talk. The ego knows when to give you no answers and be silent before you. And it's like the ego always has to have some great justification for any disharmony that it brought about. We will always have a battle in everything that we face. The greatest fear that any of us will face in this coming year is that we will not be able to bear. We will not be able to hold up. We all can forecast in our minds at a time of forecasting what negativity can lie ahead for us. What the domino effect, just let this crash and this will crash and that will crash and everything will become crashing down. And we have this, our senses are so alive when we visualize it. But we're not able to visualize the power that is within us. We're still not able to visualize that what we can do when we are really coming from our heart and not coming from our ego. I was poring through the scriptures in Proverbs. And I will tell you, there is more in this whole book of sacred scriptures that will talk to you about a righteous man and a foolish man. They talk to you about a man who will bring destruction to his own house, and that man shall inherit the wind. And anyone who brings destruction to this house will inherit the wind. This house was formulated, you come in here for our spirits and to nourish ourselves. And I'll tell you, there are many sermons that stepped on my toes as hard as they stepped on your toes. Just as hard. I have seen those who are functioning from their ego and think it is their spirit, and it is just sad to see that they can't make the final breakthrough. That this need to be right, or the need to be perfected, or the need to be so truthful that your truth has to subdue someone else. It seems that we only know power if that power is oppressing someone else or holding someone else. That is not power. Power needs to suppress no one. I was reading a letter today on my sermon, and it started off of how wonderful the Christmas Eve service was, and it just went on, and then they went into, well, as any good neurolinguistic programmer would bring out, that if God had never mentioned about don't eat from the tree of good and evil, we would have never thought of it. Therefore, it's God's fault. Because he pointed out, because there was a chance that probably we would have never gone near this tree to begin with. It's like blaming the observer for what it's observing. It's like denying that there's a higher intelligence that knows more than all the intelligence you can muster on your own. And that higher intelligence isn't premeditating. And I've watched and I've read this letter. I never read so much egotistical babbling to protect one from their feelings, because it is so void of feelings. You know what God is? God is awakening every feeling you have in you. Feelings you want and feelings you don't want. Feelings that you want to know the truth and scared to death when you're learning it. Feelings that when your ego is being crushed, that your very spirit is being crushed with it. My God, if you turn spiritual, you'll get your brain scrambled. I can guarantee it. But we are the ones who dare step into truth and let it work its truth upon us, whatever the consequences may be. We are more involved in our eternal life than we are in our temporary life. And we truly have to believe with our whole heart and soul. This has to be a belief that's brought inside of us, that we truly do believe in the benefits of the afterlife, where there is no sense of paying this price in this life. And you have to know within your heart and soul, there is a reason for paying the price. Of all the great avatars and teachers of the world, the one that fascinates me, the one, is the one that's the hardest to accept. I can accept and make reason with all other avatars and all other teachers, but when it comes to Jesus Christ, he throws in two mysteries that baffle my human intelligence. The mystery of the virgin birth, and far worse than that, the mystery of the ascension, of life after death. He who knows me, I will know him. He will claim them. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place. And that becomes the crux of a spiritual life. Whether it's Christian or what, to begin a true spiritual life, you must believe in the divine continuum of life. And as you live this one, you affect lives from there on after. Shakespeare says that to each man is a stage. And each one of you have set the stage. You have set a stage with me. You have said so much to me, not only by word, but you have said so much to me in expression, in nonverbal communication. I don't know how to put a word. You have expressed so much to me in so many ways. You have set a stage. In so many ways, you have set a stage with each other, and you are the actor upon that stage. And I set the stage of my life. And I better be careful of its act. Because we play games with other people's hearts. We play games with other people's feelings. And if you play too much with one person, you have altered. There's a thing in Scripture, friends, I warn you. Fear not those that can hurt your bodies. But you look out for those who can hurt your souls and your spirits. And there are people whose egos go so far
that they will play with your very soul and your very spirit. And it's written of these, they will inherit the wind. And at all cost, you must hold on to your spirit no matter what lessons life brings to you. I can't promise you a life of everything will fall in order, but I can promise you that everything will have meaning and everything will have purpose, and I can promise you that it will be a good life and you will know a peace that will go beyond all understanding and you will have the promises, and I don't care what it looks like to your senses that are only telling your ego. You listen to your soul, and if the grape is to be crushed, it's only to bring forth the essence of the good wine. You go into this year with you will have what it takes. You will have the strength and the power of your own heart and other friends that join hearts with you till you no longer know where you begin and they end, or they end or you begin. You are really one, and what affects one of you tremendously affects the other. Until you have had this affection with someone, you have not merged and made anything out of yourself. The whole purpose of our spirituality is to learn to love each other. You have to overcome your shyness. Your shyness. And I'm not talking about the shyness that gives you the ego. I'm talking about the shyness that will not let your good parts come out, because you're more embarrassed about your good, you're more embarrassed about your tenderness, you're more embarrassed about your feelings of love towards each other than you are your feelings of disagreeing with each other. You are shy to stand so naked in your goodness. We all know how to handle trouble. Few of us know how to handle good. We all know how to handle hatred. Few of us know how to handle love. We really, love just shakes us to our knees and makes us very nervous. Christopher wrote a song that he wrote it for me, and I'll carry it in my heart for the rest of my life. Please be gentle with me. I've never been here before. I can almost see myself through your eyes. We need each other. And we enter upon a ground where we promise this gentleness to each other. And that gentleness is just another word for unconditional love towards each other. You have to learn in here to move through your fear. I have seen people move through their fear to be hugged. I have seen people move through their fear to get involved again. I have seen people move through their fear ever to belong to another church again. We are people who have feelings. Our feelings must be expressed. This is the greatest vehicle we can create to express our feelings of good. It houses everything that is good about us, and every time we come here, we balance off all that is wrong with us and told to us, and we feel our shortcomings. Here we balance off and remember who we are, and we feel good about ourselves once again, because we feel good about all the things we were feeling bad about. We feel better towards all the things that were giving us pain, that wanted us to make strike about. In here, it seems we continue to be rendered helpless to cause pain to another individual. And my friends, I stand with you, and I know how it hurts not to render blow for blow. I know how it feels to stand still and not render evil for evil. It is not a normal function of the human animal. It is a divine function. Fear is an animal function. Love is a divine function. And it's not easy to stand in that current. I know what current I ask you to stand in. But I know this. You ask no less of yourself. And please remember that. What we are learning here spiritually, you ask no less of yourself. But how to stand strong in the tempest, and how to be tempered by the things you go through, and how to increase your understanding. You have to begin by reclaiming your power. Learn your lessons, not everyone else's. Learn your lessons. Be more in touch with yourself than anyone else. Please don't think you know more about me than anyone else. Unfortunately, too many of you know more about me than you know about yourself. Too many of you know more about too many of you than you know about yourself. You've been busy knowing so much about so many people that in knowing so much about so many people, you've really lost touch with yourself. And everything that happens to you brings you back to being in touch with yourself. And if you're not in touch with yourself, you're learning all kinds of lessons you're not supposed to be learning. But if you are expressing yourself, if you are expressing within your heart, you're learning lessons you're supposed to learn, and you have a joy in them, because while you're learning them, you have a feeling, God, I'm glad I learned this lesson. You know the lesson belongs to you, and you know what you've learned, and it has freed you from something that has been holding you down for a long time. You can feel it. Once you've got it, you've got it. The rain in Spain stays mainly on the plain. You've got it. And when you've got it, it answers. Now, when you've got down how to speak, it answers for a whole language of its own. Your lessons have a reason and a purpose. Learn to express yourself from the deepest part of your own creative essence. It won't come easy, and it won't come tonight, and it won't come tomorrow. But over the years that you spend with each other, you'll learn to express more and more of your deepest, most creative feelings. More and more, love and time will peel the layer away piece by piece. The ground right now is so soggy and so wet, does it not give you some indication of what spring is going to be like? This is the time you could dig into the earth and plant trees. When the earth is, it looks cold and damp to you, there's a lot of seeds dying in that wet darkness. But will you think of what will be born? What is going to come from that? And that is the kind of feeling you have to have as you walk through life spiritually, to get that kind of essence you're looking for. You can't suppress your feelings. Feelings leak. You have to learn how to express them without feeling you've been threatened or out-threatening someone else. There must be a way to speak your truth so quietly and so clearly, but to express yourself. But if you are afraid of the results of expressing yourself, you've already set up a scenario and a tune upon which you will dance to. The more clear you become, the less threatened you feel in giving truth, the less the truth will threaten you. Express your essence, but know the difference between freedom and license. Know the difference. You don't have license with some people. With some of my friends in Clotus, we enjoy a freedom with each other. But some of you who do not know me well enough, do not let your ego take license with me. I am a person that says in my own household, I never suffer quietly. I do not believe in suffering quietly, because it does more hurt to the people round and about you than suffering openly. At least they know what state I am, and I'm not sneaking anything into them. What you see with me is what is going on with me. What I say to you is what I say to you. I do not think one thing of you and say something to another. I guarantee you, if I've ever said anything about you, I've already said it with you, and I've already made you laugh with it and tried to get you recognize it. But don't ever try to tell a man whose ego was working what's wrong with him. He'll turn and hate you. And in the Proverbs point that out very cleverly. Don't ever tell someone who's scoffing, they'll turn against you. You know, but if you rebuke a wise man, he will know he's the better for it. Only give it to those who are learning and want to learn and want to grow. But my God, do not try to change anyone that's not, and have the wisdom to know the difference. Do not throw your pearls before swine, nor your food before dogs, lest they take and eat of it and turn and render you. Know the difference. Be aware of it. Take some responsibility. It's not your job to go out and correct everyone, because the only thing you're going to do is get them to turn on you. But when you see a brother that is open to your correction, and he is wise and he has an open heart, he will rejoice at the wisdom you give to him. We all have something to say in this world. Not we all have something to complain about. We all feel that we should get in our gripe. Let's get in our gripe before we die. Let's get in our gripe. Call on the telephone lines and tell what's wrong with you. We didn't come in here to tell our gripe. And we lay down our need to gripe and complain. We've all come in here with something else to say. Something to contribute to the spiritual harmony and well-being of this planet. And we must find a way to say it, or our tongue will still be the method to find our greater loneliness. It will separate us. The power is communication. Communication is setting a stage. Communication is your law of attraction, and you're told your word will become flesh. And the most communications you'll ever make are the ones you whisper. If you want someone's attention, whisper. Learn to say what you really mean. And that doesn't mean knock them off their horse first. Get them with the first blow. Take them unaware. That's not what saying what you really mean. That's not the ego or the place that's coming from. If you see something in your heart and you feel it, you speak from the heart. Do not let the ego take the truth. It loves to take the truth of a heart and turn it into a gun. It will not turn it into a plowshare. That is the need for the ego to suppress another man. And religion and governments have done very good jobs at that. We don't know what we are really feeling because we are suppressing our emotions. We've been taught from childhood to suppress our emotions. That's why so many of us are an emotional mess, because very few of us know how we really feel. We know how we've been taught to feel. We know how we better feel. But very few of us know how we really feel. And not knowing how we really feel makes us feel like very lost people. If I really say what I feel, I'll hurt them. I might be fired. They won't like me. And who am I to say anything anyway? So much energy goes into camouflaging what's really going on inside of us. So much energy, listen to that, goes on in camouflaging what goes on inside of us. This type is a person who is always misunderstood. Accomplish. To accomplish, you have courage to speak from the heart and act upon your truth. Intention is backed up with 100% of your energy. Your mouth is no longer just working from the ego. Expressing our truth can only hurt someone else's illusions about us or themselves. I'm not speaking of a truth that is heartless. I'm speaking of a truth that comes from caring. Speaking from the heart turns weakness into strength. Not the kind that needs to suppress another in order to feel powerful. This is an illusion of power, and many of us have used it. And it is so hurtful when you find out that this kind of power is the greatest illusion that there is. But we still become addicted to it. Temporary power is better than no power at all. One who is truly powerful has no need to suppress anyone. When we swallow our feelings, we separate ourselves from who we are. We feel incomplete, and we don't realize that feelings leak into everything we're doing. There are people that don't have to say anything. My God, they're bleeding all over the place. All over the place. We cannot love ourselves by denying our being. Expression is a God-given right. Most of us defer in one way or another to those individuals we deem more intelligent, more attractive, more powerful. Wisdom speaks from the heart, not a plaque on the wall. We are entitled to wholeness, strength, vitality, and abundance. Your truth does not threaten these, but it... Amen. Your truth enhances that, not the truth. If you have your truth down, it becomes part of the greater truth. The greater truth. That truthfulness to your heart. I'm talking about the person that is in you that has no fear. I'm talking about the person that is connected. I'm talking about what would you be like truly if this spiritual essence that's as a matter of your heart becomes a matter of the way of life for you. I've come to expect nothing less of myself, but I never expected that this is what I would come to expect. Did you expect it? So we have to work through a year on the faith. Let it be in UMS the year of the heart. The year of the heart for us. Let us gather again this time next year, and maybe some of you might even consider keeping a journal of matter of the hearts, and write little short stories about your feelings and learn to be in touch with your feelings. Don't be afraid of what comes out of your heart. Be afraid of what comes out of your mind. What comes out of your heart is always good. That's why that image will begin before us even another year as we'll begin to celebrate our 25th anniversary. Keep holy what's in your heart. We will continue to study about power, and because all of us have a power, but we must, before that power is released, we must be worthy of its use. Would you put this nuclear energy on this earth into hands of crooks and con artists that have built the plants and dumped it and hid this waste? This is too great a power to put in the hands of people who are not righteous and of pure intention.
It is no different with God, my friend. The power that you are looking for and the power that is in you is second to none in the world. But you must deem yourself worthy of this power before this power is released. It's an initiation or anointing before this power is released in you. Not to be spiritually impotent to each other, but to know all the psychic things that we studied will find their way through the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. That one person hugging another in here can cause a healing. That one person in here can read into another one's heart and give them the prophecy that they need. That one person can look into another person here and with wisdom and experience because of their own life, understand what one another is going through. So these psychic gifts are not only things that become values to our ego, but become spiritual gifts to each other and give us in return these feelings of meekness and gentleness and kindness and patience and all those things we'd really love to have, because those virtues would certainly guarantee us a much happier life than the one we've been having. It's very metaphysical. But I never knew metaphysical. This next step was totally spiritual. I mean, metaphysical is being able to stand with one foot in the physical world and one foot in the meta, in that which is beyond. And then what is beyond that is just pure spirit. I mean, all rules of this planet are broken. And a man who touches that can change any energy into what he wants. He can use his mind for such a power of good. And if he says to the storm, "Be still," it will be still. I believe we must reach that point of evolution within us. I believe we are the ones that must point. You know, we watch all these beautiful space movies and all these so-called space beings and extraterrestrials and ETs. And, you know, it's amazing that they're so ugly and children think they're so beautiful and what they could do with their little finger. You know that you too must do this with your little finger. That's the journey that I'm starting on. The paranormal has led me here. And the paranormal let me peek through its window into the supernatural. And into the supernatural, there is just so much love. I was reading a little story I'd leave you with of a person said in a group of four men were talking on a train ride that they would never believe in anything that they couldn't understand. And another person listened, saying, "May I ask you a question? If I told you I saw the geese eating grass this morning, would you believe me?" And they all said, "Well, of course." He said, "If I told you I saw the pigs eating grass this morning, would you believe me?" And they said, "Of course." He said, "If I told you I saw the sheep and cattle eating grass this morning, would you believe me?" And they said, "Of course." He said, "Well, isn't it strange? They all eat grass. On one, it gives feathers. On the pig, it gives bristles. On the lamb, it gives white wool. On the cow, it gives fur. Do you understand that?" It is amazing, the story is, how much we are capable of believing without using what is in our heart to open to what is our mind to understand. To understand. And to feel that. And to have that connection. And to walk through the year with that safety. That the promises will be kept if you keep your promise. And the path to righteousness is not easy. There are so many times you will feel so justified, but you choose not to put that option into play. And I'm sure many of you in this year that you've spent with me have felt you're doing things different ways, that you're not comfortable with the temper anymore, and you're not comfortable with the way you handle things anymore, and you are quickly learning to handle things, same truth, but totally different. Totally different. And you're finding out you can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. Days will be given where there are no days. So we will enjoy a whole year together. It's a good time of year to put good seeds in good ground. So I ask you to put some seeds and some resolutions in there. But let's not make a bunch of them, but let's make one spiritual. And I ask for an agreement, because where there is agreement, there is great power. And if we put this seed in the ground, we may be able to forget it like the wild seeds that enter the ground, but it will bloom again. Let us put this seed in the ground tonight that this will be a year of the heart, a year of the wisdom of the heart, a wisdom of time of self-expression, not only of how wonderful it is to belong to a greater heart, but how wonderful the things are that are really in your heart. And each time we get together, we'll feel a letting go and a surrendering of the ego
and a resurrection of the soul and the spirit that is within us. Amen. Praise be the name of Jesus Christ.
Love offering. And when you give this one, give it with all of your love, all of your sincerity, and joyfully support what it is we love so much.
Thank you.
lines and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And I think if you say, what is the message of the whole meaning of tonight, is to rekindle the melody he gave to you. You know, each one having something to say. And maybe to meditate and hold that as a prayer tonight, and to ask God to re-enlighten and to let you hear with the ears of the soul. He says, and see, and you see not, and hear not. But there's other levels of perception. And I ask you in a time of meditation to use that perception within you and let a prayer be given unto the Spirit. And let the Spirit carry it into the very heart of God, that he may restore in each one of you that melody that he placed into your heart, and for you to hear it ring once again. To think of within your own body the light and the power that lies within there. He pointed out so often to us the seeds and the fields and the wheat and about weeds being sowed into the field, and he always spoke of it because it was such a complete cycle of life and rebirth. Just a complete cycle. The life, death, and rebirth was always in there. And if you take a moment when always you're in this house, is to try to remember and feel that spark of light in you that cannot be extinguished. If science says that every cell in your body has a consciousness, every cell all its own, and we talked about the power of a cell and what was in it and the atoms within your cell, it's time to just think about that, to let the part of your brain that is crowded with the thoughts of everyday living. Science says that we don't have one great mind, as we're made up of many little minds. And this is the time where you take the mind and you focus. And I ask you to focus it upon your body, to become aware of every cell, become aware of its consciousness and the power within every atom. And to use your imagination and let it be a step and a journey towards constantly seeking this light within yourself. And understanding the consciousness that it'll take within you to release this power. And feel that same power awakening and blessing you, healing your bodies and your minds. This power giving strength to the soul. There are those that we are taught through the studies of the paranormal that we can reach with our minds, that our thoughts do have an unconscious effect on others. Those you love, send your prayer and your healing. Thou wilt but speak the word, my servant shall be healed. And all the classes of metaphysics and parapsychology and spirituality, let all the knowledge you have blend together now into an exercise of action. Feel the beauty of light. And as it flows, feel that the source only grows greater. Notice that the more it flows from you, the greater the source seems to be. Its power is not diminished by giving, it is increased. Enjoy the mystery of watching. Enjoy the mystery of seeing love wanting to be created by your heart. For what flame it awakens so deep within you. That very light unites you to every living thing in this universe. And the voice of the rocks is even heard.
See my
those of you that are sitting with someone you love or going home to someone you love, they ask you to think about the words and remember, come and warm yourself by my side. And let us feel all the warmth and enjoy this season. There is such a delightful heaviness about it. There's a delightful pressure about it. In life, and when you read it, everything bears something else. You know, and a colt bears, a horse bears, a woman bears, a fruit tree bears. And you can see what it goes through to bear. But we become feeling that there reaches a point where the excitement of growth becomes wonderful within you, less fearful. At some point it becomes exciting. Amen? And we will warm ourselves by each other's side. And I just feel so romantic about beginning another year with you. And I know it's a good year. I know it is a good year for so many. For so many who have waited so long. And like that Chinese bamboo tree I told you about, takes 5 years before it does anything. And then in 5 days it grows 90 feet. That's the kind of year I want a lot of you to expect that have been holding, and know that you have stayed in goodness and righteousness with family and friends, that you have brought no trouble into your own house, that you are at peace with it. I'd like to read to you a part of Proverbs, because Rex told me, he says, there's so much wisdom in there, maybe you'd enjoy Proverbs. This is the one that comes, and I think it speaks for tonight. Come and eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness, and live and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and your years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone. Amen?
Amen.
You will bear it alone.
Don't you sit upon the shoreline, say your name. for music.
Our friends from England come to say goodbye to us tonight. They're leaving to come home after the journey here and having their child christened in this church. Did you want to say anything? And thank you very much. And a safe journey, and we'll certainly be thinking of you.
It's good to hear the King's English again.
Yes. It's good to hear. And thank you for the blessing of bringing your child here to be christened.
Amen.
You have honored us. Let me tell you, there's no such thing as wasted energy.
No.
No such thing. Everything you did, if you did in righteousness, the intention and the energy in which you did it has not been wasted. It's not been wasted. So I want you to know that all things work out for the good. You know, I remember a story. You met my friend who was my mentor when I first came back to spiritual things. And this is the guy I baptized in the middle of the night, and he threw me out for doing it. I didn't believe in heaven anymore, but I liked him so much I didn't want him to go to hell. So I thought, don't take any risk baptizing. What could you lose? As in case there was hell, he had a chance to escape it. And after he threw me out in such disgust, because I remember he used to have this ugly picture of Ramakrishna. You ever see that thing in the diaper, that skeleton? He looks like he's from Somalia. There's one up there, and he's sitting there, and he'd get up every morning, put out his prayer rag, light his incense, do his meditation. And he had a very peaceful, wonderful, successful life. I never considered that. And I got so annoyed. I got so annoyed, I went back to my monastery stuff and got out my beautiful picture of the Sacred Heart and put it there. And I said, if you had to pray to something, at least pray to something pretty. And I remember him saying, you don't understand anything about beauty at all, do you? Needless to say, I was soon out on my own. And it was years later that I ran into him, and you were with me in a coffee shop. And I didn't know whether to approach him or not, because I was dismissed and as the fool for the fool I was. So I just casually said, hello, Bob, how are you doing? His name was Bob Baldwin. How are you doing? And he looked at me and said, how are you doing? And I wasn't going to volunteer any information. He asked me how things were going, and I told him. And I told him what I was doing now. And I remember he sat there, and just about tears came to his eyes, and he said, who would have ever thought that the seeds I planted so long ago would have taken hold and bear fruit? And he was so grateful to see, and I thank him for being the initiation of that. And it's just many things you do, and you plant seeds, and you see nothing come from them. You know, some of those seeds that you plant will be bloomed in God's time, not yours. But I tell you, they all bear fruit. I forget sometimes, we even had a church in Santa Barbara, and we had an interview. We did TV Tuesday night with Richard Hatch and Dr. Ron Scholastico. And I am fascinated by Scholastico. You can tell a face that's seen the face.
Yes.
You can tell a face that's looked into the light. You can tell it. And you can tell this face has looked into lights. I'm so fascinated by him. And it's a good thing we're not alone on TV, because we'd both space out together. Or maybe we should do that. And I admired him. And this time he brought along his wife, because she was so anxious to see me and to meet me. And she told me, and while she was telling me this, she had tears in her eyes. At a time she came to the Santa Barbara church. And that night she was there, I was speaking. She said she felt the Spirit come in. And the Spirit... And she said, you even mentioned it, that there was a spirit walking through the church, and that spirit touched her that night, and she had never been the same. And she is the wife of Ron Scholastico, and how her spirituality and how she was touched, and the tears were still in her eyes. And I looked back, and I never received such a great blessing. As simple as that may seem, it seemed awesome that of all that time, you could have that in someone's heart and not even know what you've accomplished. And when you need to know in the right time, all this energy comes back to you. And I was able to say, wow, something good does come out of everything if you open yourself up to let it come back to you. And it was so wonderful to experience this. And the energy I want you to have tonight is a solemn energy, because there's a solemn feeling in the room. But do not let the solemn feeling or the quietness of the season be one of sadness. Let it be one of awesomeness. Feel right behind this energy an awesomeness of growth by nature. I told you New Year's, I thought it was interesting. I don't know why I never connected it, that we celebrate Christmas as an infant, a virgin coming from a virgin, and New Year's is also an infant. And we hold them both up, and it's both getting in touch with the child within you. It addresses Wicca, it addresses Christianity, that beautiful story. But we need things like this to express our feelings, so we begin to understand our soul. We should never hold on to ritual or never build it that it overtakes something that it's teaching us. But we should always be able to change and always be able to create the landscape of the soul and always feel that before us. So each of you feel this night the awesomeness of all the good that you've ever put out there, all that good, and you know that this night you claim it, you name it and you claim it. And if you name something and you claim it, you'll become aware of it. When we bought the blazer, all I saw was blazers everywhere. I become aware of it. Well, if that works in everything else, you name it now and you claim it. And the mind will do what it's supposed to do. You'll become aware of it everywhere. And I want you to feel all the good seeds and the solemn time of this winter solstice and everything that seems to be decaying in you as a knowledge of a bursting forth and a return and a fruit that is 100-fold. Amen? And hold on to that. And start your spiritual year in that great journey. Thank you for a rainy Thursday night. And I thank you for being here, because each time I come here, I'm better about who I am. Mm-hmm. Now, I might not be as good after. I might slip back. But I'll tell you this, it won't be as far back as I was. Yeah. As I was. You see, that's the great pendulum. First you're here. Then you have experience that swings you all the way over here, just so you can land here. Not back there. Amen? Each time you deal with spirit, spirit will move you along. Amen? Okay, give me some traveling music.